It is time for the crime report. Joe Jacklin, retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad, a current adjunct professor over at John Jay College, and an author of the bestseller. It's called The Criminal Investigative Function. It's a guide for new investigators, edition number 3. Joseph, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Boy, where do we begin? What a week, huh?
Oh, God, yeah. This is crazy, right? But makes for great radio.
It certainly does, especially yesterday. I think this was really, you can sum it up with Tom Spoda, that it was inevitable. I mean, that's really the word, I think, because this thing has been brewing for months and months. The speculation, the finger pointing, you know, you remember the county executive on the steps of the courthouse and the finger pointing and the back and forth. My interview even with Tom Spoda back in July, it was coming, Joe. That's what it was.
Yes, and I think he knew it was coming too. So I mean, here's what happens next, right? Or actually, who does it happen next to? I think, you know, from the district attorney's point of view, if he doesn't have a tickler file, which we call a law enforcement, where he's got dirt on everybody to try to save his own skin, I think there's a lot of sleepless nights going on in Suffolk County right now.
There really is, and you know, the speculation looms large. You know, you're right. Who is next? But if you know, the irony of it all, this is a man who's stepping away in 60 days. I mean, 60 days. And a lot of people asked, you know, said to me yesterday, couldn't they have waited? Joe, that's the question. Could they have or should they have?
Yeah, no, I think, well, one of the things that the feds do, that they're very deliberate in what they do, and I know the timing is, you know, impeccable, right before the election, but I don't think that had anything to do with it. So once they had all their ducks in a row, that was it. They just go into the court. And they go to the grand jury and they get the indictment, right? So and that's it. You know, I don't think we can read into the tea leaves, so to speak, about, you know, why they did this and why didn't they just wait? Because, you know, once you make your case, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, the feds don't care. They don't care if you're retiring in 3 days. If they've got the goods on you, guess what? They're going to spring it, correct?
Well, yeah, and not just that. I think it sends a message, too. So as he's still in public office, you know, waiting till afterwards, I think would have been a big mistake, because then people say, well, he got away with it because he's out of office now. So, you know, unfortunately, it is what it is. I mean, the top law enforcement officer, the second in command, you had the chief of the department with Burke. I mean, where does it end out there?
Well, that's the big thing right now. And, of course, you know, a lot of people can tie in. They're speculating, and there's all kinds of thinking going on here with Gilgo Beach. You and I have discussed this.
Yeah.
Forever, you know, Gilgo Beach and the players involved, and, you know, it goes on and on and on here. But, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking yesterday if maybe Gilgo will be facilitated in some sort of a way based on this. I mean, what do you think?
Oh, I definitely think so. I mean, we know that the district attorney's office is running the investigation. Burke was involved in this, the whole nine yards. So, you know, I guess it would depend on, you know, who wins the election for DA, because we have, you know, we have Tim Sini running, who's already the Suffolk County Police Commissioner, who we haven't heard anything from him on the Gilgo case. So, you know, I think that there is a lot of things that we don't know about it. I mean, listen, we're still releasing JFK stuff, right? So, you know, this case unfortunately has been mired in the mud of the politics in Suffolk County, and you know, we may never know the true story here.
You know, it's interesting because when you think about it, a duffel bag pretty much set off a firestorm 2 days ago. I'm talking about the Christopher Loeb situation with James Burke. James Burke, the center of it all, wouldn't you know? But in essence, you know, you can even go back to some of the cases, Joe, regarding some scrutiny of Spoda's office. Maybe anything unlawful in the handling of that shooting of that Huntington Station taxi driver. There was a lot of speculation there. Tom Moran, by an off-duty Nassau County police officer. There were circumstances under which you had the former Suffolk County executive, Steve Levy, giving up that $4 million campaign chest to the DA's office. Everybody wanted to know about the missing dollars and everything else there. Also agreeing not to run for re-election there. There was the legality of a wiretap was placed on the phone of former Suffolk Detective John Oliva. You know, you have a lot of things here. The Robert Macedonio case, the distribution of asset forfeiture money. I mean, you can go on and on and on here. It's just amazing. So a lot of people will say, you know, what kind of, what's Tom Spodi's done a job, but there has been a lot of scrutiny regarding some of past practices within that office.
Well, sure. I mean, and remember when we were kids, we played a game called, you know, carry on the ball carrier, you know, pile on the ball carrier.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what happens now. I think people start coming out of the woodworks with things. And now that Spode has been indicted, he's stepping down. So I think there's even more stuff that's going to come out. The question is, how badly tainted is the DA's office? You know, all his appointments, all his things. And if I said it yesterday when we were talking about this, you know, I don't think Tim Sweeney did enough in the Suffolk County Police Department, you know, getting rid of some of the Burke people that were there. Now, if he or whoever of Parisi
paying the price, that's what happened.
Now whoever gets in the DA's office, you got a clean house. I mean, everybody that he's appointed to something is tainted, unfortunately.
Joe, I've always said when you order a plate of chicken parmesan, you put it in the fridge and you take it out again a few days later. If one piece is bad, you're not going to eat the rest. You throw it all out.
Yeah, it has to be.
That's what happens here. Should have, at least.
Yeah, there is a level of corruption in Suffolk County politics that is...
It's a terrible day. A terrible day Wednesday was for Suffolk County, Long Island in general.
Yes, I mean, and think about it. I mean, you got Nassau County has its own issues with Mangano and all that other stuff still under a cloud. He's still working. So, I mean, it's just one thing after another here on Long Island. And meanwhile, you know, you keep on paying those taxes and people are getting, I think, like I said, this is going to be an interesting election, Jay, because, I mean, the timing of this whole thing is really going to, I think, affect the election.
Well, it could. You know, you look at a guy like a Ray Perini, you know, how fast will a guy like that jump on a situation of this nature? You know, I mean, here's the deal. If I'm his manager, full blitz. I mean, that's what it is. Think about it. The tie-ins with Cine and everything else. I mean, come on. You got an open door here.
Well, certainly, yes.
And you talk about party switches and everything else. Well, here come the Republicans. Look out.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to be interesting, of course. But, you know, it is the top law enforcement job. And... you know, Suffolk County's got problems. Nassau County's got problems with this MS-13 gang stuff. We don't need this kind of distraction, to try to get the job done. I mean, this is something, a point where, I think we need to be really discussing here on Long Island. All these political distractions, all this political corruption. Meanwhile, you know, there are people there are getting killed, buried in preserves. I mean, we're doing crime scenes and dig-ups and cadaver dogs. I mean, it's just... it's insane what's going on.
It's a war zone, no question. One more thing about Spoda, you know, the statement yesterday that he'd be leaving the post after the resolution of normal administrative matters relating to his retirement. I mean, come on. I mean, could you make it clear in the fact that you're stepping down? Could he say I'm resigning? I mean, Joe, even this is a bit in the clouds.
Right now it's just about, how he feels about himself, I guess. I don't know. It is what it is, Jay. I mean, we're dealing with this as citizens of these, Long Island, and it's just one thing after another.
I mean, for the sanctity of the office, at least, you know, say something a little bit more definitive. Let's move on. Let's go to the gang situation. Obviously, lots happening the whole week. You know, you start out in the Roosevelt Baldwin border, you find bodies there, you find another body over in Freeport, the Cow Meadow Preserve Park there, Joe. Massapequa Preserve, I guess they came up empty, disbanded the search there, but it's been quite a week, huh?
Well, yeah, certainly, and if you noticed, they've been getting that intelligence where they're going from one location to another, and they've been, you know, lucky. I wouldn't be surprised if you would see them back in Massapequa, you know, after, you know, because, I mean, the Massapequa Preserve is pretty large. So they might not have had that exact location. And they might go back to talk to whomever had given them the previous information and try to narrow it down a little more, you know, sit them down with a map and try to, coordinate that.
And remember, they found that body way back. Remember in March, the investigation, Julius Ponce, his body found, MS-13 related. They have now connected the dots. Took them a while to say the latest body was gang related, but in essence, everybody knows the deal here.
Well, certainly. I mean, and now you need to start connecting other dots. I mean, if you look at the National Missing Unidentified Person Systems, or NAMIS for short, You put in Suffolk County, there are so many unidentified human remains in Suffolk County that they've been located. I believe the last time I looked, there was like 52. So this problem, you know, not all of them fit that profile, though, you know, because you have a couple people that are, you know, well above the age for gang members, but there's a number of them that fit within that category. I mean, you kind of like shake your head.
No question. Talking with Joe Jackalone, it is the Crime Report, of course, brought to you by Crime Stoppers and Suffolk, 1-800-220-TIPS. All calls always kept confidential. And a $5,000 reward attached to cases that involves information that will lead to an arrest. You know, Joe, one thing more about the gang stuff. I don't want to hear anybody say, you know what, we have tackled the problem. We are on our way to eradicating. You know what? As more bodies are found, statements like that to me are ludicrous. I mean, can we at least go under the radar and have these task forces do their jobs, the investigations and everything else, before we start pounding chests here?
Yes. I mean, I think we saw that big mistake the last time with the Commissioner Sini with his, you know, with the helicopters and stuff. This is where the real change has to come for both Nassau and Suffolk County. How they handle missing persons cases if somebody fits a specific, you know, profile, so to speak, where it could be gang involvement. You know, if you have one of these accompanied minors that have been put in a family with a family and then they go up missing and then that 16 to 17 year age, 15 years old, they're going to have to change the way they handle those missing persons cases. I mean, it's as simple as that, because I mean, a couple of these kids, with the guy in from Valley Stream, right? I think it was 21.
Yeah.
So here's that it's even extended even more. And the problem is, if you're over the age of 18 and there's no other source of foul play or anything like that, you're not considered missing. So if somebody tries to obsess that my brother is 20 years old, hasn't come home, they say, well, you know, I mean, they don't even take a report. So, I mean, New York City is the same thing, but there are a lot of people that are maybe victims of this MS-13 gang that we don't even know about yet. And that's why you keep on saying, well, this person wasn't, you know, reported missing, or this wasn't this, because of the fact of the way we report how missings are classified in police departments.
That's a great point. It really needs to be revamped when you think about it. It really does.
Well, specifically, I mean, if you have a case where it's one of these, you know, unaccompanied minor programs or something like that, they got to do the full court presses if they would, if somebody was, say, mentally deficient or you know, elderly or dementia patient, you know, they're going to have to do one of those things.
No question. Joe Jackalone in the Crime Report. Let's move on. Big news, Joe. We haven't spoken about this, and that is the serial knife point robbers behind bars. And I say plural because it was a mother and her kids. Incredible, huh?
Yes. And we talked about this about a week or two ago. And heroin, of course, the drugs are at the crux of the situation. And this isn't the first time that we've seen, you know, one person doing this. If you remember the other big robbery pattern case, right? The one guy was driving the car, the other guy would go in there and rob the place. So it's the second time. Listen, the heroin is at the crux of this thing. Unfortunately, Jay, we are going to see
always
more.
Is.
We're going to see more and more property crime, but now we're starting to see these robberies. And unfortunately, it's only a matter of time before something ends in violence. And it's not the police department's fault, because this is an epidemic everywhere. They fell short yesterday, Trump and the administration, to label this a national emergency. But you know what, Jay? We've talked about this for such a long time. Somebody's got to label it exactly what it is and stop, skirting the issue about what the real problem is.
Hey, listen, it's a massive problem. It's on everybody's plate come Election Day, and they better solve it. They better fix it, and they better have a plan in place. You know, I don't want to hear people say, "Oh, well, we got to do this and this and that." And the president coming out yesterday, and we're gonna do it by phone now. You know, if you need treatment, you know, you can do it by credit card. I mean, you know, the whole thing is it starts early. It starts in the schools, and they got to at least implement something here.
Well, they have to, but the message still hasn't gotten out there yet that people need to get rid of these prescription medications in their house that they're no longer using. That was the crux of this whole heroin epidemic. People got hooked on these oxycodone pills and other painkillers, and then when that was taken away, when the prescriptions dropped, then heroin became the issue. I mean, you can look back on the timeline, and you can actually pick certain spots where this thing really started to kick off. So we I think we tried to rein in the doctors. I think that was pretty much working, and that's what caused this, you know, drop in supply of oxycodone pills and other types of pain medication, and then people turn to heroin. And that's, you know, you fix one thing, you break something else. You got to have a plan. You can't, in law enforcement, hope is never a plan. Oh, if we do this, we hope it stops it. No, you can't do that. You gotta have contingency plans always.
Joe, any surprises here with this judge, Fernando Camacho, who convicted Christopher O'Brien of second degree manslaughter, of killing a man while driving drunk the wrong way? It happened on Sunrise Highway a couple of years ago. But it was Camacho who acquitted O'Brien of the murder charge. I know prosecutors were seeking this. Were you surprised at this?
No, not really, because unfortunately when someone's drunk, it's very difficult to prove intent. And in order to get a murder charge, you have to have intent. DWI laws, the way they work, it just doesn't go that way. The most I think you can ever get anybody is maybe criminally negligent homicide, which is the lowest form. It's even below manslaughter. It's just above manslaughter. So, we have to do something. People are still driving drunk. I don't understand it. And until we start hammering people, that's, you know, might not be a great adjective, but as soon as we start putting people in prison for this long term, I don't think it's ever going to be a deterrent factor. I mean, look, there was just recently, right? Somebody had killed somebody in the court, and then they released them out on, you know, recognizance. So it's one thing after another with that.
Do we know what his blood alcohol level was?
I don't know for sure. But listen, we got to do something.
Well, something has to be done. We talk about this with legislators all the time up in Albany. You know, they have to strengthen these laws. They have to, Joe, because, you know, 2 1/3 to 7 years ain't cutting it. I mean, let's face it. You know, and now that's fatalities when going away, leaving the scene. But when you're driving drunk and the wrong way, I mean, come on, something's got to be done here. And this was an innocent guy, 57 years of age. I mean, you know.
What it's going to take is not a new law. It's going to take a revamping or a rewriting of the penal law. And that's where the crux of the problem is. See, nobody wants to talk about that. Because if you look at the penal law, it doesn't fall within the murder category, because there's basically only three ways you can commit murder. So maybe they need to add a fourth, that if you're driving drunk and you kill somebody, then, you know, now you're going to get charged with it. That's the only way they're ever going to fix that.
I don't know. To me, it all comes down to depraved indifference to human life. Something has got to be, somebody's got to be held accountable for stuff like that.
Well, I agree with you. And like I said, they could just pen it in. They could change that. But for some reason, politicians have been reluctant to do so.
Couple of minutes left with Joe here in the crime report. Two things, Joe. The 87-year-old who backed into a Wendy's, he backed into a Wendy's. I guess he didn't back and he went front end, but he went across Sunrise Highway, if that, something of that regard. But, you know, 87 years old, I mean, was it a medical episode in this case? We keep hearing about medical episodes.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, I think anybody who still has elderly parents, I think they're all going to face this at one point, and so will we, right? Where your kids will be saying to you, maybe, Dad, or you shouldn't be driving anymore, you know? But people are, I can do it, I can do it. And then, unfortunately, something like this can happen. You know, I saw it with my own grandfather. He had three accidents in 1 week, and then he finally decided on himself that, you know what, I can't drive anymore. So, you just hope that something, you know, doesn't happen, that somebody gets killed. And, you know, it's just part of life and reality that we're going to have to face, all of us face one day. We're going to have to just take it that we can't do it anymore and give it up.
No question. And then finally, you know, Vineyard 48 shut its doors, Joe, the other day over in the Cutchogue area. And, you know, these wineries have been under a lot of scrutinization over the years. You know, listen. I mean, I love the wineries, and I see people all the time. They are sauced beyond belief getting their cars. I think something had to be done. Something had to be made of an example to one of these wineries. Very popular one. We know it's right by Depot Road there on Sound Avenue. But in essence, maybe it'll change. Maybe it'll change procedure, you know. But, I mean, the place was a nightmare. I've been there. I mean, the place was a nightmare. You know, drunks and everything else are closing. You know, it was a matter of time, I thought.
Well, I guess you could say that's just about any kind of place that serves alcoholic beverages, right? I mean, if I was a cop and I was looking, you know, I was doing DWIs, I mean, I'd just be sitting at the next traffic light.
Be hanging right there.
Yeah, I'd be sitting at the next traffic. I mean, You know, and that's the bottom line. But you know what? I mean, when you have a problem with a place like this, even parking a police car, like, you know, 8 or 9 o'clock and have him, that officer sit there for a couple hours, I think kind of turns a lot of people off and says, that cop's not leaving. And then, you know what? Maybe I'm not going to be drinking so much wine. Maybe I'll just be chilling out over here.
Joe, a week of weeks, no question.
And I think there's more coming.
We'll talk to you next week.